been one of my causes. You've heard me obviously talk about the nativity movie and stuff and things, and I think it's a shame that obviously the Christians are not supporting Hollywood's attempt to produce films for us. How many went to see Amazing Grace? Yeah, not many of you. When Hollywood makes these movies, we got to get out there and see them, you know, otherwise they're not going to make them anymore. What happened is the Chronicle of Narnia really got Hollywood to think, gee whiz, there is this big audience of Christians out there that will, watch the films. And, of course, that did good because both the Christians went it and also the science fiction fantasy people went and saw it. So it was very successful. And I bring this up. I work in the entertainment industry, but I'm on the electronic side of it. But obviously, the publications, the people that I run into are people that are in Hollywood. And so they attempted to make, obviously, movies like Luther and Fox, which is a little bit more on the conservative side, actually has committed to make six Christian movies over the next couple of years. The one that they came out recently didn't do very good, but I think part of the problem was the name was The Last Sin Eater. Who went and saw The Last Sin Eater? The Last Sin Eater. Never heard of it. Yeah, one person. Very good. Excellent movie, terrible title. They've obviously done something with the title. This had to do I wish Christina was here. It was a book, right? They turned it into a movie. I'm trying to think of the time span it was set for. It was set, in the Ozark Market Mountains, say, before the Civil War period, so maybe the 1840s. And it had to do with this little village of people that came in from Scotland, Ireland area. And in their pagan world, they had understood the concept of sin as a true story. They would actually sit there, and when someone died, they would actually pay a beggar, or actually, if they had a large enough town, enough people were dying, would actually have somebody in that town come and be the sin eater. And what they would do is put a glass of drink, maybe wine, maybe water, and a piece of bread on the coffin or on the body of the person who's dead, and they would drink that cup and eat that bread to take away the sins of that person so that they could go to the afterlife. And again, we talked about, obviously, how God writes eternity in our hearts, and this was nothing from Christian. These are from people, a pagan ritual that goes way back before, obviously, the Christianity was brought, to the British Isles. They come to America, and the leader of this clan, the mayor, if you will, of this little clan, obviously reinstitutes this. But there's no beggars around to give money to do this, and so they actually draw lots and appoint one man to be the sin eater. And that person is the reason he's a sin eater is he has to be shunned. He has to be away from the group because obviously he is sin infested. And the story goes then that a little girl in the village, through a tragic accident, obviously accidentally has her little sister dies, because they're having a fight, and she chases and falls off a bridge. And her grandmother dies, and she sees this, so she discovers the sin eater. And so she feels she has sin, and she wants the sin eater to take away sin right now. Traveling minister comes to town and preaches the gospel, and then through the little girl and through the sin eater, salvation kind of message comes to the whole village, obviously, that there was one true sin eater. So Hollywood is making movies, obviously, like that. They've made Luther, which is a great movie, the Amazing Grace, the story of how England ended slavery without a civil war, just an amazing story, obviously, of one amazing man. So we need to obviously see and support these things. My personal opinion, obviously, some of these are on DVD. You can rent them, obviously, but Hollywood is trying, obviously, to do that. And Fox, like I said, has made one, and they're committed to make five more feature films that will come out in theaters and then on DVD. Let's see here. Back to my original topic here. Oh, yeah, so we obviously was bringing up Luther. I brought up because obviously the Catholic Church and the aberrant theology, and someone was agreeing with me, obviously, that when we talk to people of the Catholic faith, obviously, I find it, there are two categories, totally evangelical Christians are ones that are totally, obviously, looking into this the aberrant theology of the Counter-Reformation, which was the deification of Mary and praying to the saints for salvation and the sacraments. Today, continuing a little bit on that theme, one of the things that I've seen most prevalent, and it's so prevalent that I don't think people even in the Christian church, obviously realize, and it sneaks into the church, was to talk about what's known as the New Age movement. There's nothing really new about it. The teachings come out of Hinduism and Buddhism, which means that they've been around for a long time, probably even before the revelations to Moses, Noah. I mean, Moses. Anyways, they're very prevalent in America. What's happened, obviously, is a lot of people from the East, India, and China, and the Orient, obviously, have come to America, part in a zeal to spread their philosophy, and also some of them, been exposed, obviously, to make money. They've taken this Hinduism and Buddhism beliefs, Zen beliefs that we've talked about before, if you were here when I taught on world religions, and to repackage it into an American package that would be palatable and acceptable for Americans, and obviously has been very quite successful. A recent poll survey found out that about 20% of Americans, have embraced these New Age theologies, believe in reincarnation, which is pretty sad. The amazing part, obviously, is they've done, obviously, surveys to find out that 90% of Americans, have Christian beliefs, which means that, obviously, 10% of these people, obviously, are believing both Christianity and, obviously, New Age. And I've run into them, obviously, before, obviously, and people in talking with them that, that say that their New Age beliefs and Christianity are totally compatible. So the New Age movement, it's been around for a long time in America. The most famous person here in America that really got it started, and a lot of New Agers still see them as their prophet, if you will, is Edgar Cayce. In the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, he was a prophet on the East Coast and became very famous because he could diagnose and give treatments to people that were ill. He would do this by going into a trance. He put himself into a trance. While he was in the trance, obviously, a spirit guide would give him, a message to tell him what was wrong with a person and what the ailment, was and what the remedy was. And he obviously had somewhat of a track record to get quite a large following. It's a little bit disputed, obviously, because, the writings are from their own organization. But his beliefs in reincarnation, in these spirit guides, he was a big promoter, obviously, of the spirit of Atlantis and the spirit of Atlantis. I don't know if you run into New Agers, obviously, but they look into the city of Atlantis as their spiritual mecca, if you will, spiritual thing of healing. And he obviously made it very popular. It wasn't probably until, the 60s, 70s, 80s with the hippies and the drug culture, rebelling against, obviously, the establishment authority and against the church included in that, that it became a very popular movement here in America. It doesn't have a single, organization or creed. It's not like you could, look at it, obviously, like, the Mormon church, when it comes, because they got their little badges and they have a name and identity. But you find it permeating everything. I've seen it, obviously, in even our local schools. What they'll do now, obviously, is to talk about self-esteem. The classes have been taken over by the New Age movement, where now, obviously, your self-esteem is built on your identity and finding the deity within you. But they may not use the word deity. They may use, the Christ consciousness or just potential, human potential within you. A lot of it, obviously, is to... to have an altered state of consciousness is what their goal they're looking at. This is called the New Age movement, is what they call it, right? Here in America, obviously, even the things that are outright, from the East, like the Hare Krishna would be the most classic one because they dress differently, obviously. But again, the Hare Krishna is an American New Age movement. You won't find Hare Krishnas in the Orient. What a guru came here, realized obviously that he could repackage, his belief system into something that Americans would buy and believe and join their organization and give their organization money. Classic Hinduism, Buddhism, reincarnation is not just coming back as another person, which is what all Americans think. When you hear reincarnation, you think, well, I had past lives, Shirley MacLaine was famous for this, for making her movie and talking about her past lives that she discovered, by going into meditation, or getting into this unconscious state. in the Hinduism, Buddhism states, you reincarnation always included animals. And in some classes of Hinduism, it includes even plants. So you will actually find vegetarians in India that will not even eat a carrot because that kills the carrot. And you could be then obviously eating your ancestor. You would eat like squash or beans that come off the plant that doesn't kill the plant. So you could eat an orange because you pull the orange off, it doesn't kill the tree. But if you eat a carrot, it kills the carrot, you know. So you've killed that animal, and obviously if you believe in reincarnation as obviously also be including plants, you know, then you would want to do it. That's very strict. And you have to understand it is the Hinduism, obviously, like the New Age movement, is very broad. So you can find Hindus that are avid meat eaters, you know, especially in the north, and you can find all the way to the ones that would not eat a carrot, you know. And so again, obviously it's a very broad category. So they all believe in reincarnation. You know, but there are obviously lots of different flavors and varied brands. Obviously, just in Christianity, we have obviously lots of different, you know, sects that have different traditions and different beliefs. Yeah. Yes? Right, because the insects and bugs and things would all be included in that, obviously. And then, of course, we have that case. Obviously, we use that phrase a lot. Obviously, at work, talking about don't touch that. That's the boss's sacred cow, you know. And that phrase literally comes again out of Hinduism. That in Hinduism, of pretty much all the sects, the cow is the most sacred animal. That's the one step before getting into nirvana or enlightenment or whatever. When they came to America, obviously, these gurus realized that that wasn't going to fly in America. And so they obviously have changed their religion, obviously, to be obviously reincarnation is always just back into people. And then obviously Hugh has spoken obviously about obviously that that they liked the Big Bang is obviously recording that into the Big Bounce, you know, believing that obviously that the universe, you know, reincarnates and comes again. And so they obviously were very disappointed to see that there wasn't enough mass in the universe for it to bounce again. The entropy and the energy that's in the universe, that if the universe was to collapse, and we're not sure that there's enough mass in the universe, that it will obviously stop and shrink back down to start with. And even if it did, you know, there's not enough mass for it to bounce back and to have another Big Bang. But that's what they were looking for. So let's talk about some of their belief systems. So it's a very loose and broad, but there are some general trends that you will find through all of these, and they're good to know that, so that obviously if you're seeing that in your work and your friends or whatever, that you'll know that some of those things that come there. The first one, obviously, is they do accept, obviously, the Hindus and the Buddhas' view of God, which is pantheistic, that everything is God. You know, everything is God. So in Christianity, God is everywhere, you know, and they can do just a slight twist of that to say, well, no, God is everything. So God is within you, and you need to discover your deity. This chair is God. The plants are God. Animals, trees, everything's God. In Hinduism, that comes with the belief, obviously, that you can worship anything, that they may worship a river, a tree, or an idol. Obviously, here, that's not palatable for Americans, so they get rid of that, and they just strictly make it in the spiritual sense that God is everywhere, you know, and everything. You know? And so you are obviously a deity. Jesus Christ, they all love Jesus Christ because he's just one of these great gurus. And almost all New Agers eventually will claim that that the lost years of Jesus, you know, between being in Egypt and coming back, you know, and doing his ministry, that he went to India and that's where he learned, you know, to heal and where he learned to be a guru is in India. So many of the New Agers have bought into that, obviously. Yes? Oh, it's just their nonsense. I mean, there's no history. Yeah. That's the other thing, obviously, about the New Age. That's the other thing about the New Age movement. The New Age movement is totally experiential oriented, you know. And so life is actually an illusion. You can create your own illusion, obviously, your own life, obviously. And so historical documents test, you know, well, this the verse obviously it tests the whole thing. Hold on to that, which is good. You'll never hear that theory, obviously, in the New Age movement because it's obviously just always experimental. Experimental, you know, that whatever what's good for you is good. And that's what creeps into the schools, obviously. You've heard these things where they have classes called value clarification in school. It's an official program here in California. you know, and they'll talk about that if you decide that drugs are bad for you, that's okay, you know, but if Mary over here, she thinks drugs are okay and it helps her, that that's okay with her, you know, and you have these moral qualifications, you know, and I run into that. People, obviously, I work in Hollywood, I run into that all the time, and of course the classic line we'll use back to them and say, well, okay, well, the Nazis, they had this belief system, you know, and that was their moral system, was that okay? And of course they won't answer it because they know by their doctrine, their theology, that they'd have to say, yes, that was their value system, you know, and we'd have no right to judge them, you know. In reality, obviously, they know that Hitler was so bad, they can't say that. And most of them won't answer the question, you know, or just, again, obviously, very good in the New Age movement is just to walk around and skirt the issue, you know. Right. Gurus, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that, yeah. Yeah, Jesus is just one more good. And so sharing your faith with that, obviously, the exclusivity of our Christianity has to be stressed, obviously, in dealing with them, because otherwise they will say, oh, that's just great, you know, and they'll just add him to their list of gurus, exactly correct, and me, obviously, just do that. You had a clear, yeah. They are a New Age movement right from the get-go, yeah. Yeah. They have two programs, if you will, in Scientology. One for rich and for the Hollywood crowd, and they actually have their own building that they can only go to. And what they do, obviously, again, is to help you discover your past lives. And this gets to the whole thing, is rather than calling it nirvana and enlightenment, they call it going clear. And so they just change the terms. So they take this Hinduism, this whole New Age movement, and just put different terms. And so what they do is offer counseling sessions. So the reason that you have problems in your life is just because you, obviously, your mind is not clear enough, and you need to confess, you know, bad things or wrong things you've done in your life or things from your past life that are problems with you. That's called karma. They don't use the word karma. They obviously just say things from your past life. And they go through these counseling sessions. And for the rich people, it's interesting, is it's pretty much the same because they want to milk them for their whole life. Obviously, we had a member of this church that got involved into Scientology, and the first counseling session was free. The next one was like $25, and the $50, $100. His last counseling session he had there before he sold his house was $50,000 for 1 hour. He had to sell his house to do that. And once he sold his house, he and his wife became janitors at the Church of Scientology in Hollywood and basically became slaves. And that's what Scientology is about. It's about greed and money and power and control. Huh? Yeah. You're clear of everything. You're exactly right. He didn't have any of his house or his car, nothing to trap them. Fortunately, a family member went and sought him out or whatever, and he's starting to realize, obviously, as he's painting, you know, the Church of Scientology's house for a year or two. He said, do you think I'm in a cult, you know? And there was a Christian family member who said, well, the capital C. And he's like, can you help us get out, you know? It's like, I don't have any money, I don't have a car, I don't have anywhere. And that family member helped them come out. If he was, he always like go to this church now and have him share his testimony. I taught a cult class before, and that's how I learned this. Is he and his wife came and shared their testimony. But what they do is they basically, these counseling sessions, they use basically like a lie detector. They put little meters to your pulse, you know, your palm of your hand, and using sweat and electricity, you know, the little meter. You don't get to see the meter, and so obviously the person's really looking at the meter, but he's also looking at your facial expression to see if you're telling the truth. You know, and the Lord knows that confession is good for the soul, and that's basically the premise of how they sucker these people in there, because if you confess your sins to somebody, just anybody, obviously, not even the Lord, you obviously are going to feel better about that, and in this private session you do that, and that's what lures people in, obviously. But the other interesting thing, when he joined, he had to sign a 10,000-year contract because they believe in reincarnation. So you have to join not only for this life, but for the next 10,000 years. Yeah. Yeah. Their big thing, obviously, is anybody that criticizes them, they sue them. The Time magazine about 10 years ago wrote a great expose on all of this and got people like Keith Scott or whatever. And they sued Time magazine, and Time magazine fought it for a while, and they finally just decided, you know, the money wasn't worth it. They're very powerful, very influential, and squash anybody that has any type of criticism will persecute them very much. Yeah. Well, yeah, the government. Well, they got in trouble with government, but they actually got it back. They got their tax status back, actually. So yeah, they've been on and off tax status because obviously, you know, the government is saying, well, you're not really a church, you don't have worship services. But they started, it was just Dianetics and obviously the Scientology. They started the Church of Scientology just to get their tax status, but they actually did get it back. So anyways, the classic, obviously, New Age movement cult with a capital C. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the government finally did give it to him. Not pretty, they still are very malicious. So anyways, yeah, obviously, I mean, the New Age movement obviously is every group a cult like that? No. Obviously, some groups are very loose-knit, and you can come and go, obviously. The Church of Scientology, Dianetics, you know, is a cult, but it's a New Age cult. You know, we have Christian cults, we have New Age cults, we have, you know, Islam cults. So a cult, obviously, can be from any type of a belief system, yeah. Yeah, well, he actually did that back when he was a science fiction writer. He started as a science fiction writer, and he started Dianetics, and his church thing was a dare. Somebody told him. They said, you know, you're such a good writer. You know, why don't you start your own church, your own religion, or whatever? And and from that, obviously, he came up with this theory of the Dianetics. You know, that everything that bad happens to you in your life, again, obviously, is because of these things you haven't confessed or some of your previous lives. You know, and again, obviously came up with this theory that if you could just discover those things, obviously, you know, and through counseling confess them, that obviously that you'd become clear, you know, and free of your problems and stuff, you know. And, the bigger problem with us in the age movement, obviously, is that really what you're doing is saying is you just want to connect from your moral standing, obviously, you know, because obviously, as we just talked about, the people there, you know, it's very much obviously like the Mormon Church in the regards, obviously, the ends justify the mean, and the group is always more important than an individual. So in the Mormon Church, obviously, again, when I left, obviously, any type of people leave the Mormon Church, you know, or even, obviously, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, you're excommunicated, you're shunned, you know, lies are told about you, your life is destroyed because the reputation of the organization is so important, you know, that you will obviously lie, cheat, and steal, you know, and maim and defame people and slander to defend the reputation of the group. And that's the thing with a cult. The cult is always interested in defending themselves, and they always have this us-against-them mentality. And so all of the cults have this us against them mentality that everybody's out to get us, you know. Yeah. Jesus is the physical offspring of God the Father and God the Mother, and is the brother of Lucifer, and Lucifer is the physical son of God the Mother and God the Father also. Now, the resurrection is one thing I wouldn't argue. They believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus because they believe Jesus is physical, yeah. But, yeah. So the resurrection is not the problem. It's the cross is where they totally get off base.
So they talk about the gospel, but Paul, that's the burial.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now the gospel gets me more than that. Obviously, that's where obviously we should spend some time, obviously, last talking about the essential of our faith. Obviously, you have to believe that, A, that you're a sinner, that you have to believe that Jesus is in the flesh. You have to be in the reincarnation, and they don't believe in the reincarnation. Jesus is a God with a lower G, and so the Jesus in Mormonism is a different Jesus. I mean, obviously, to start with, he's obviously being the brother of Lucifer, you know, and being a physical thing, obviously, you know, that eliminates him right there from that Jesus from saving you. You know, and then the fact, obviously, that you know that he is just a God of this world.
Yeah.
You know, again, obviously, means that he couldn't die for your sins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary inquires. Yeah, they've been doing that. When I was there, they would claim they weren't Christians, and probably I, you know, let's say I've been out for obviously 25 years, more than that, 30 years, and probably about 20 years ago, they made a shift, and the leadership just realized that you could catch more, you know, flies with honey than vinegar. And so they came out, and one of the leaders of the church wrote a book, Why We Are Christians. I was totally shocked, because when I was there, obviously, you were told to make a distinction. You know, you were a Latter-day Saint, you're not a Christian. And they found out that, again, almost probably 98% of all their converts come from Christian churches. They don't go to non-fertile ground. So I shared that a couple of weeks ago. You go to Tijuana and build houses, you ain't going to find any missionaries down there on bicycles or walking around doing any converts. You're not going to find any Calcutta. You're not going to find, any in the slums in South America. They only go to either middle-class or upper-middle-class neighborhoods, and they are trained in how to convert, Christians, and that's what they go for. And people from this church have been sucked away and gone off into Mormonism. Some of them have come back, some of them have not. I mean, it's just heartbreaking stories. When I joined this church, I asked to do a cult study to be able to share my testimony, and the leadership of the church told me no, I couldn't. We don't want to do that. We don't want to talk bad about other churches or whatever and stuff. Until finally, obviously, a lady that was coming to this church, a single mom, and her teenage daughter started dating a Mormon guy and got really serious, got engaged. And when the mom found out she could not attend the wedding because it was going to be in the temple and only worthy Mormons could go, she came to the church and asked for help. But the church obviously didn't know anything about Mormonism. I hadn't shared my testimony. Nobody got any classes. They contacted me. I went out to speak with her, and I was totally shocked. She'd been there for 6 months. And she knew just as much as I did for my 2 years and even above. I mean, the indoctrination that they have, program they have, is so good, And I had to go back to poor mom and just say, you're like 3 months too late, She was just totally indoctrinated. She had an answer for everything that I said. Absolutely nothing I told her about the Mormon Church shocked her. And the church finally came back to me and said, I think you need to do that cult class, And the church's belief was that we knew our doctrines. We knew our essentials of our faith. And if you know your essentials, then you shouldn't be sucked in. Is no. You need to know that there's an enemy out there, and the Bible says that Satan sticks around like a lion, seeing who to prey, And if you open that door just a crack, that's it. And that was actually what I titled my cult class. It was called Who's Knocking at Your Door? And we started obviously with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they're out there knocking on your door looking for people that are spiritually hungry, And they will tell you, we've got all the answers. Unlike Hugh that comes up here and says, well, I don't have all the answers, but I got a lot of them. They will tell you, I have all the answers. Yeah. I totally agree. Excuse me? Oh, yeah, they believe in atonement. They just believe in a different atonement. Jesus, in the Mormon church, Jesus atoned for your sin by praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And any reference to the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood that was on his brow in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in the Mormon church, actually, even in a Sunday school class like this, if I wanted to show a picture of a cross or Jesus on the cross, I'd have to get special permission from, one of the higher-ups to do that. So they totally shun the cross. You don't find any cross in their buildings or in their churches and stuff. And what you were talking about, when they say the gospel of Jesus Christ, what they're talking about is the entire belief system of the Mormon church. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has to do with the entire belief system of Jesus Christ. You just like Jesus preexisted, in heaven as a spirit baby before he came to earth, you preexisted in heaven. And when they talk about you're a child of God, they mean that in a literal sense, that again, your spirit came from spiritual mother and heavenly father. So when they talk about be your children of God, we're children of God. We talk about that because of God's love for us and his care for us. For them, they mean literal. Just as the only difference between Jesus and you is he was born before you. And that you, obviously, through being a Mormon member of the Mormon church, you can become a savior on Zion and become your own Jesus of your own planet someday if you're worthy and good enough. And so that's their gospel. Their gospel is there. And that's obviously why, obviously, the movie has been very popular, obviously, and stopping them is the gun. the ones, once you go there to the, once you start to go to the temple, if they call those temple Mormons. So if you're a temple Mormon, you understand that. And the reason I learned that, obviously, is I was preparing for a temple marriage. I had a girlfriend there, and we were getting very serious, and she was like, if you're getting serious, you know, I want to be married in the temple. You have to learn about the temple. So I started attending this, preparing for a temple marriage, and that's where you learn the meat of their gospel, you know, and start learning these things. And, of course, I was like, well, why didn't you tell me that when I, you know, started attending, you know, a year and a half earlier? And they were like, well, you weren't ready for it. You know, like, that's why you really meant it. What it means, if you told me you knew I wouldn't stay, you know. And, of course, you know, I was, you know, very upset because I felt that I was deceived. Because up front, I kept saying, I want to know everything that's going to be required of me, you know, so I can see if I want to stay. And I told that to my girlfriend. I told that to the missionaries, everybody for me, place like this. And, again, every week I would learn some new truth, you know, that was weird or strange, you know. And the final one was, obviously, that the goal of Mormonism is to become a god. And so I learned that not from a Christian, but from the Mormon missionary or missionaries in the class. Yeah. So, yeah. And obviously, it's one of the oldest things. If you get back, obviously, what was Luther's first sin and why was he cast out of heaven? What did he want? He wanted to be God. He wanted God's worship. And so it must be some old temptation, obviously, that's with us, obviously, there. You know, and it was the same thing. Then what did he tell Adam and Eve? Eat this fruit, you know, and you will be like God. And this desire to be like God must be there because, obviously, it's the temptation of the New Age movement, obviously, is to have this deity within you, to be something more than you are. It's the temptation that's obviously within. Right, and within Mormonism. And that they have in common, obviously, that both of them are obviously seeking, you know, to make you a god. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and obviously they moved to Hollywood. Yeah, I guess he started, obviously, this was obviously, you know, they started this in December of 1953 in New Jersey is where he started, but he eventually came out here to California, obviously. Much more fertile ground out here. California is definitely one of the homes of all of these, the cults, obviously, the Hare Krishnas are based out here and a lot of other ones. And, yes. No. They make fun of Christianity for calling us a spirit. If you were to talk to a Mormon and say, you know, you believe that God is a spirit, you say, well, that means that's not loving. In order to love, you have to have a body. So Jesus has a body and God the Father has a body. Oh, it's the same way we just talked about that. Just like you can become a savior on another planet, obviously, then there was another planet and there was another couple there that had a baby, and God the Father was chosen to be the God of this planet, you know, and he had Lucifer and Jesus was the first two sons, you know, Jesus was the first son, Lucifer the second son. Is right. Very good. That's exactly right. He's the God of this world. Right. No, he didn't die. He's still here. They still worship God the Father.
Oh, still
yeah. Yeah, yeah, the eternal. I was here. He appeared to Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, obviously, in his testimony, claims that God the Father and Jesus Christ both appeared to them. You know, and in my Sunday school manual, I had a picture of two angelic glowing beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ, you know, in physical form. Well, they don't die. I mean, you become a god. That's the whole idea. You would become a god of your own planet, and you would become that god of that planet forever. So your spirit has a beginning, but it doesn't have an end. Well, he's in the spiritual realm of this planet, you know. Yes. No, they don't have another planet. Actually, I mean, Hughes talked about obviously that in their Pearl of Great Price, this little booklet, it talks about obviously that our God the Father came from the planet Kolob, the center of our solar system, you know, our galaxy, our universe, I should say, the center of our universe, obviously Kolob, you know, and then obviously they and Mormons, the reason they're faithful and they do all this hard work and want to go to the temple is because obviously, again, obviously, if they obviously are faithful, they become a god of their own planet and populate their planet. Yeah, so. Because he's the savior of this planet, so he has to stay here. He obviously did that. Yeah, one person gets to be appointed to be the savior of each planet. So hopefully you can become the savior of your own planet someday. So you will have a god and a savior for each planet, you know. Yeah, Lucifer was cast out from the presence of God. He's here on planet Earth, so he can't go to heaven. He's here on planet Earth, and his demons are working. Oh, no, yeah, he's the typical, yes, the temptation thing. You know, the only thing that's weird about Lucifer in Mormon theology is that he's the brother of Jesus, you know. Right. Yeah, he and his demons are still here, so they'll believe in the two-thirds of the angels are up there, one-third of the angels are down here on Earth, you know. Yeah. You got it, exactly. You got it, yep. Yeah. I was, exactly. I was very faithful about a year. About 6 months I had questions, and they're such a good cult, as even after, obviously, I realized that I was in the wrong place, it took me about 6 months to cut off my ties and to find anything. For all together about 2 years, from the time it was 26 to 28, for 2 years. Excuse me? Oh, I'm worse than worse. I may always share about that, obviously. Yeah, they made it very clear that I am the son of perdition. So in the Bible, it talks about the son of perdition, those that have, there is no salvation for, obviously, because I've obviously have revealed the secrets in the temple and obviously, you know, have led all of you astray. I'm the lowest and the low. So they don't believe in hell, but the bottom thing that's for the, I'll be there with the thieves and the murderers, you know, that's me. They don't believe in hell. The Mormon theology is three heavens. So you have, obviously, the celestial kingdom, which is where God the Father, Jesus is, and Mormons that go to the temple will be there. Then they have a heaven in the middle, obviously, the terrestrial, which is obviously the word for earth, obviously. And that's where good people, nice people like you will go, and Mormons will do work for you. And if you want to, you can become a Mormon later after you die. That's why they do all the work in the temple for the dead. And then they have the bottom, obviously, you know, which is for the lies and theaters and mutters and adulterers and apostates like me. So I'll be down there with the murderers in Mormon theology. Yeah. Yeah. Now, be very careful. No, be very careful what I said. I said that in the primary, there's absolutely no way that I would vote for him in the primary. I actually will campaign against the primary, but I said if he became the candidate, I said not only would I vote for him, I will go out and campaign for him. Because on the external, they obviously are pro-life with me, and they have the family values, whereas the opposite side believes absolutely everything. But this way, this is a big problem the church has, is people think when they vote for a politician, they're voting for their politicians. And it drives me absolutely bananas when I go out and campaign, because people will sit there and point out all the flaws of the Republican and somehow just totally forget, you know, the person on the other side, you know, they have nothing in common with, you know. And it drives me absolutely. Matt Fong was the one. Obviously, we could have gotten rid of obviously one of our senators. If Matt, I campaigned for him his so hard, and the conservative Christians stabbed him in the back and nitpicked him to death and did not support him, even though he got the Democrat vote that he needed because the Democrats liked him. And so obviously, you know, and so partial Bush support him continued on because we didn't get him in. And so it drives me crazy. So again, when you vote, you're not voting for your pastor. You're voting for somebody that's going to write legislation that's going to impact your schools and impact your legislation. You know, and right now there's only one party that's pro-life, and I don't have to tell you which one it is. All the other parties are not pro-life. You know, the big ones, the small ones, or whatever, are not pro-life. There's only one that supports family. I'm in the pulpit, but I can't say that. There's only one party that supports obviously, our family values. And so, obviously, you know, the Mormon on the external, obviously, if Mitt Romney was to become a president, I know he's going to be pro-life. I know he's going to appoint, you know, conservative judges that are going to impact my family and my life. And right, exactly. So, which is why important that obviously that during the, this is the other problem I have then, is the conservatives, they don't get involved in the primary, and then they complain about the candidate they get on election day. And that's the other thing that drives me totally crazy. You know, how many, if you don't vote and I tell people, I said, if you didn't vote in the primary, then come election day, you have to keep your mouth shut. You don't have a single right to criticize a candidate. Okay? Right? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You obviously found one of my pet peeves. I'm very active in politics, and I have to deal with it. It just drives me bananas, you know? You know? It drives me bananas. Let's change, get back on religion, obviously. Yes. John Trove, yeah, right. Yeah, Tom Cruise. They actually have a celebrity club. They have a building just for them, and I told you, their payment is consistent. So he gets like $1,000. He'll never have to pay $50,000 for a counseling session. So based on your wealth, that's how they base it. So they know that they can milk that person for the whole life. So they have a separate program for them. So there's two programs. You know, there's one for the average people, and then there's one for the wealthy. I talked about that. Yeah, in England, yeah. Yeah, well, I should talk about politics. This is obviously is your nice quote up here. Yeah, yeah. This is another problem. Obviously, Jerry Falwell was definitely a born-in Christian, obviously, and one of the first people to say what I said, that obviously Christians need to be involved in politics. The Christians is terrible, obviously. Before 1960, when Hollywood made movies, they actually went to a board of pastors and asked them if the movie was acceptable. And in the 1960s, for whatever reason, the people said, that the church really shouldn't be involved in entertainment, you know, because we need to be concentrating on spiritual things and preaching the gospel. And they disbanded the council, and Hollywood just got free to make whatever movies they wanted to, you know, and Christians have pulled out of entertainment, and they pulled out of politics. And Jerry Falwell, the reason he called this moral majority was to say Christians need to be involved in politics. You know, we wonder why America's obviously gone downhill. You know, and now we're obviously fighting tooth and nail to try and get back into politics, obviously, to get our values back. And so this one here, obviously, both the news media and the left, obviously, you know, really obviously make fun of him. And this is a classic thing here, obviously, that he wasn't trying to say that he was more moral than anybody else. He wasn't saying his group was more moral than anybody else. It's saying that Christians care about morality. You know, we care about, obviously, the laws that our government makes, you know. My secretary, you know, she came to me just shocked one day. She obviously normally dropped her kid off, you know, at the curb at junior high. And one day she actually walked into the office. And sitting there on a table next to the little thing where she had to sign was a bowl of condoms, getting them out to junior highs, you know? She was in Compton, and so obviously, you know, they obviously are very liberal there, you know? And obviously a lot of people obviously realize, obviously, that at that school here in California, you know, women have their total reproductive rights start at the age of 14. That your school, the school teacher or somebody, counselor or whatever, could take a girl down, have her have an abortion, you know, come back and not have to tell the parents, you know. And we did this on the boat, obviously. We did, I mean, I was still just shocked when I think about it. Obviously, we put that up to vote, you know, and it didn't pass, obviously, parental notification. You know, we obviously, our morals are so gone downhill, you know. I thought for sure that was going to pass because we actually had an instance where a girl did that, came home and bled to death in her bedroom, you know. Because her parents didn't know that she had an abortion that day. So I thought for sure that hit the news media, it was going to pass. So we have a moral crisis in America, obviously, you know.
Yep. Some people don't know that the green on growth of profit, the growth of profit,
and mm-hmm. I've heard somebody. No. I had not heard of him before, obviously. But I know that obviously poor Jerry Falwell, obviously, has been his, right. Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. There you go. All right, getting back here, obviously. I'm not very far on this. the Holy Spirit and New Age movement, obviously, the Holy Spirit is just, you know, a cosmic force or mind, obviously. You know, I actually like, you know, the Star Wars episode because it obviously emphasizes sacrifice and doing which is right or whatever. But obviously there's classic elements there of the New Age, you know. And Lucas kind of obviously borrowed from, actually this will be a special this weekend on this, Tim, right? Borrowed obviously from World War II, obviously, you know, and the thing of sacrifice, like our soldiers did, what we're celebrating this weekend, the great men of World War II and our armies that have sacrificed, you know, for the good of others and for our country. But on the flip side, obviously, if you want to know, obviously, the most eloquent speech on New Age is obviously is Yoda, you know, when he's sitting there saying, you know, where is the spirit? Well, the spirit is, you know, it's in the trees, it's in the plants, it's in these living things all around you. And then he points, it's in this rock, and it's in you. I mean, you couldn't coin it much better, obviously, when he's on the green planet, you know, and first meets Yoda, and Yoda's obviously teaching him about the spirit, you know, the nature of man. We've talked about, obviously, that the sin nature isn't really believed in the New Age. That's one of the reasons it's very popular, obviously. In Christianity, a lot of people have a problem with us saying we're sinners, obviously, and confessing that. You want to think good of yourself, you know. For me, obviously, in Christianity, you know, we're realists, you know. And we realize, obviously, that we are sinners, you know. And that the Apostle Paul's line, you know, was quoted in Romans, obviously, I do the very thing I don't want to do. You know, that's our sin nature. And a lot of people don't want to admit that, confess that, and so the New Age is very attractive to them because it gets rid of this moral code, you know, and yet you have spirituality. So what's better, spirituality? Without a moral code, I can do whatever I want to do. It's a wonderful thing, and that's what's very, very attractive. So obviously the nature of man and sin is very attractive. Atonement, you have atonement in the New Age movement. You bet you do. That's obviously what all of these things we've talked about are, whether it's counseling, whether it's trances or crystals or, you know, reincarnation, spirit guides, healthy eating, you know, a lot of those holistic things, you know, putting a triangle on your head. You know, we talked about crystals, I think, already. Obviously, yoga, in the sense not of a physical exercise, but as far as the spiritual connotations that go along with it. These are all ways to obviously help us get rid of, you know, whatever. In the Hindu realm, it's called karma. Here, they may put different names on it, obviously, to get you free of these things so that you can find the deity within you, you know, the Christ consciousness with you. Or they'll say you've become one with the universe. Your mind can become one with the universe. You've heard that before. And so they are looking for salvation. It's just they don't call it salvation. They don't call it justice. They don't call it atonement, obviously. They'll have lots of different names for it. The reincarnation we've already talked about. There is no real truth, obviously. Everything's an illusion. You can create. The chanting, obviously, that's very good, obviously. The whole thing, obviously, is, let me tell you, obviously, this part, obviously, is this consciousness, obviously, that they're seeking, obviously, is a very dangerous thing. You know, obviously, in Hugh, we talk about test all things, you know. If you get in the Bible, obviously, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, not, you know, with alcohol and wine. So throughout the Bible is always telling that you need to have a clear and functioning mind. And in the New Age movement, it's the complete opposite. They want to escape this reality and find this other reality that's going to bring them. So the reason they're very prevalent in drugs, because it's going to alter your mind. If you don't want to do drugs, then you can do, obviously, you know, chanting, you know. So its whole thing is this consciousness is to get you out of your mind. And it'd be a very dangerous thing, obviously. The worst case I had of this was I had a secretary for about 3 months, and she wasn't there more than a week. And I was, you know, trying to find out her spiritual thing and sharing my faith a little bit. And so she told me this whole thing, how she had smoked for years and she tried all these different programs to quit. And she finally saw this ad that said, you know, that they could put her into hypnosis and get her to quit smoking. And so she went there, and sure enough, obviously, this hypnosis was able to put her into a trance and get her to stop smoking. But then she went on to tell me how she's a white witch now, and her and her group are going to save the world. And when I tried to go back and say, well, you weren't a white witch until you obviously quit smoking, this lady had programmed her mind so well she could not make the connection between that she became a white witch when she quit smoking and that the hypnosis is what did it. It was just a total disconnect, a totally dry thing. She, you know, I would, you know, we'd talk one and she would talk about that. I'd talk about the smoking, she'd go back here, and she would not connect the two. and her mind was so scrambled. She kept mailing letters without postage stamp, which is why we finally fired her, you know, because she finally mailed something that was needed to be there. It was real important, obviously, and, you know, came back a couple weeks later. And her brain was so scrambled. And so if anybody, obviously, even for games, if you go to these comedy clubs and stuff or whatever and things, you know, don't anybody ever try to put you into a trance or hypnosis for fun or games or whatever. Because if you open your mind like that, you know, just we just said, Satan's out there like a lion seeking who to destroy, and some minds are more open than others. Her mind was so open to this, you know, that she had totally dedicated her life now to this white witch group, you know, that this lady ran, obviously, from this hypnosis to quit smoking, you know, that it just totally dominated and took it over her life. And she just couldn't think clear anymore. Yeah. Let me quickly tie this in. Obviously, if you haven't read Hugh's book, Lights in the Sky or Little Green Men, or seen the video, I would recommend that, because obviously, you know, he was talking about these residual UFOs, things that we can't identify, and obviously he ties that again with spiritual activity. And that goes very true, obviously. They did a really big survey and found people that are into the UFOs are probably like, you know, 50 times more likely, you know, to commit suicide, you know, or to have accidents, obviously, that, you know, that there's a very spiritual connection. And the basic line, obviously, and it goes with the Mormonism, obviously, is very much in the occult, too, obviously. The reason I left Mormonism, we didn't even get to that. It wasn't because I didn't want to become a god. The final line was, is because, obviously, I was questioning the teachings of the Mormon Church. My girlfriend came back to me and said that her dead grandfather had come back from the grave in the Salt Lake City Temple and said that she should marry me and she should go on a missionary tour. And that's what she did, because it was very difficult to argue with a dead relative. You know, you talk about in-law problems, you know. You know, I couldn't go to this guy and say, hey, but I'm a nice guy, and I'm still searching, you know, and stuff. You know, and I thought this was an isolated incident. So I went back to my other friends and said, you know, hey, you know, come and, you know, talk to my girlfriend and, you know, tell her, obviously, you know, this is, you know, crazy and wrong, and we shouldn't talk to the dead people. And it was like I woke up a nightmare that the guys I played basketball with, my missionary friends, everybody, all shared their encounters of meeting dead people, either in the Mormon temple or graveside. And so the bottom line is if you want to talk to a dead person, there's plenty of demons out there that will impersonate, you know. And if you want to open your mind up, obviously, to a hypnosis, you know, there's plenty of demons that will come in when your mind is open under trance. And likewise, obviously, if you want to seek UFOs, you know, there's plenty of demons out there that will fill that crap, you know, that gap and that need that you have, obviously. And so, you know, Hugh has obviously talked about spiritual realms up here before, and we were hit one skeptics forum, and like half the class laughed or whatever, and I had obviously had to share my sobering thing, obviously, about obviously these people that believed in dead. And there, if you don't believe there's a spiritual battle out there, if you don't believe there's a spiritual realm out there, it's only because you're not fighting the battle. You know, you go out there and do some street witnessing, you know, go out, you know, witness to some Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, and I can guarantee you, obviously, you will, if you're not prepared, you know, you're going to suffer to start with, you know, if you've got people praying, you're praying for, and you know what you're going in, you know, and you know that the lion is out there seeking to devour, obviously, you'll triumph, but if you go in unprepared, obviously, you will be surprised at the spiritual battle that's out there. You know, and leaving Mormonism and obviously going back and sharing my faith with those people was the time, obviously, I saw the absolute most spiritual battles and the most scary things. Yeah. Well, what he classified as our UFOs. So obviously, UFOs just means unidentified object, and probably 80 to 90% of the objects can be identified. You can attribute some natural causes to be balloons, blimps, you know, meteors. But it, right.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of things out there that may be natural causes, you know. I mean, a lot of people obviously sometimes will have a large meteorite will make a fireball and disappear, and people say that. Now, let's do this. He classifies it in two realms. One, obviously, things that are within the laws of physics that somehow you would be able to identify. He says if after thoroughly investigating, you will find some instances of things that totally defy the laws of physics. And so if you find and you see an object that totally defies the laws of physics, you know, then you have to obviously wind up concluding, obviously, that it's something spiritual. And the classic one, he obviously said, is he even knew, obviously, that somebody, I think, where a group of people saw some object come across the street, stop, you know, going 1,000 miles, stop, make a nighttime turn, come back, you know. And there's no natural things in physics that would do that, you know. Things that are traveling 1,000 miles an hour cannot make right turns, you know. And so he would say, he would classify that as being something, our UFO, which means a residual UFO, something that obviously that can't be identified as being a physical object. And he says that obviously would be spiritual objects, you know, that demons obviously are out there seducing people. And the classic case of that is Carl Sagan, which I had on my list to talk about in the movie Contact, that this whole other branch of New Age movement, obviously, are people that are looking for UFOs, looking for aliens, because they believe they're going to communicate some message to us to give us salvation. So Carl Sagan believes that we're obviously on you know, overpopulation and pollution and crime and everything, that, you know, he sees all the problems. Carl Sagan saw the problems of the world and said, obviously, you know, Jesus Christ is not the answer, so there must be another answer. So he believes that obviously that if we can communicate with these aliens, they're going to give us some answer that's going to solve all of our problems, you know. And if we can communicate that message to everybody, you know, that there'll be salvation from the earth. I don't know, there's a lot of people there. Other people are just curious and are just looking into it, obviously. And the more you look, you know, you will find it, in my opinion, because these demons are more than happy to classify you. No, yeah, there's definitely, yeah, there's people that have gone out and seen burn marks on the ground or whatever, so there was definitely something, there's actually something physical there. And so, yeah, demons can make physical impressions. I mean, these people that obviously saw these dead people come back from the grave, and we know obviously from, you know, from the Bible teaching, you know, that it's appointed for a man to want to die and then the judgment. And so we know that obviously it's not these dead people, you know, that are coming back. You know, that's Hebrews 9, if you want that reference. Just as man is destined to die once and after that face the judgment, so Christ is sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And so we know that these dead people aren't coming back, and so obviously it would be Hughes, in my opinion also, that demons are well easy to impersonate a dead person if you want to talk to them. And if you want to meet an alien, you know, I'm sure there's a demon out there that can do that, and they obviously are capable of making physical impressions. It's something that they saw, you know. And yeah, we need to stop. We need to stop right there. That's close in prayer. Yeah, we're out of time. I'll be up here to answer questions after, but we do need to close in prayer here. And I will be here next week, so we'll be able to pick up also. Very good. Dear Lord, as we talk about the darkness and those trapped in darkness, we ought to always come back and look at you, because you are light. You are our hope. You are a reason for living. And we want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. So help us not to be filled with alcohol or filled with worry or filled with so many things we can in this earth. Help us each day to cast our eyes upon you, look into your voice, and see your loving grace and your kindness, Lord. The world is full of many troubles and many problems, but we know, Lord, that you are with us no matter what we go through, no matter what dark valleys we walk through, that you will be there. And we know that we're here on this earth for just a short time, a short period, and we look forward to meeting you face to face and being with you, Lord. And that's our hope for living, our hope for glory, and the hope we want to share with others that may be trapped in darkness, or even to open up their life to the occult or the dark side. And we know, Lord, that you can break those binds. We know that you are mighty. Help us to be in prayer and mindful of you. Be with us this week. Be with Hugh as he travels. Amen.